In chapter 39 of the book of Genesis, Joseph showed up in Egypt. He didn't belong. He was a slave. They're sold into slavery by his brothers. And I'm sure that you recall that Potiphar, one of the higher ups in the military, the Egyptian military, Potiphar purchased Joseph, and Joseph became a real blessing in Potiphar's house. Matter of fact, he got to be the top slave. That doesn't sound like an honor, because the truth is, it's not. Except it was a blessing of the Lord. And look at you. Look at where you're at today. You can say, this is it? Yeah, this is an honor. Not really what you and I would call an honor, but a true blessing that God would still be with us, not give up on us, not shake his head, throw up his hands and go, I quit, and like others have in your life. Didn't last long, because Potiphar's wife was a little bit of trouble. And you remember that Joseph got sent to prison for a crime he didn't do. He's innocent, but like it or not, he's in prison. I know what you're saying. Same thing happened to me. I mean, it wasn't my fault. I'm in the condition or position that I'm in right now, but there I am. Well, I know what you should do there. Serve. Not surf. Serve. And praise God. And just be amazed that he would never leave you and never forsake you. And it's all right, because this light affliction is but for a moment. That's what I tell my wife all the time when she says, you're getting on my nerves. Your light affliction is but for a moment. And it carries with it a weight of glory. Doesn't help, does it, Gene? So we left our hero in prison. Not just in prison, though. He got to be the top prisoner. Whoa, man, that Joseph. He just remains faithful no matter how hard this is. He remains faithful. You know, that is a challenge. No matter how hard this gets, to remain faithful and to remain in fellowship and to never back down by the power of the Holy Spirit and to never give up and to never let him see you sweat. Just keep on serving and just saying, I'm the head prisoner, you know. Well, you're still in the dungeon. It's okay. The Lord loves me. I'm ahead in the dungeon. That's where we left him. And look at verse 1 of chapter 40. And it came to pass, after these things, what things? Chapter 39. That the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Oh, man. Remember, Pharaoh thought he was God. You don't want to offend Pharaoh. I don't know what the butler did. Maybe he brings the, you know, Pharaoh his stuff. Maybe as he's walking along, he trips and spills some stuff on the Persian rug or something. And Pharaoh says, that's it. Now I'm in a bad mood today. Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not even pass this rug. I made that up, because some of you don't even know what Monopoly is. People are going, what? Monopoly? What? It's got to do with anything. Nothing. It's got nothing to do with it. I'm just having fun. Pharaoh was angry against two of his officers. Verse 2 says, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph happened to be a prisoner. Pretty classy place. Joseph's there. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Oh, man. Oh, man. Away with them. And he served them. And they continued a season in ward. Can you? Come on. Put yourself in Joseph's place. Look, I don't belong here. I belong back home. My dad misses me. Probably thinks I'm dead. I'm going to get my brothers one of these days. I don't belong here. I'm in prison. And the chief warden comes along and says, dude, what? Take care of these guys. Oh, no. Can you imagine celebrities going to prison? Yes, you can. You've just seen it lately, haven't you? Oh, my goodness. the butler and the baker. And they're right there, the ones that serve Pharaoh. Oh, man, they're going to probably be a little bit of high maintenance on Joseph's part. But you don't hear Joseph say, dirty butler and beggar, why don't they all get their own food? Why do I have to serve? I don't even belong here. And there, no, you don't hear that out of Joseph. You see what he does? Joseph serves them. Joseph serves them in prison. And verse 5 says, they dreamed a dream, both of them. Each man's dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the war of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? That's almost funny. I'm sorry I'm laughing. And they said to him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Joseph, you know, Joseph has been working in the prison now. I don't know how long. Looks like quite a while. Years, probably. And he is faithful, and he serves, and he knows his way around. And these two guys sort of get kicked out of Pharaoh's court, get put into the dungeon, which is not a positive. That means from the dungeon, you're probably headed for the gas chamber or to get your head cut off or something very bummer of a thing, right? And so he asked them this, you guys look kind of down today. Why? Oh, don't you hate guys that are always in a good mood? Why aren't you down, man? You're in the dungeon too. Oh, no, it's a great day, man. Skippity-doo-dah. Come on. You know, I always think that's a funny question. Why would you ask prisoners why they're down? I know why they're down. They're in prison. No, no, you look especially down today. You really look down. What's up? Sorry. They said, you know, for you guys that didn't get that, down and up. They said, you know, look, we both had weirdest. We had dreams. We don't understand the dreams. And it's bothering us, weighing heavy on us. And, you know, obviously, had we been out where we belong, there are the soothsayers. There are the New Agers, basically, of that time. And there are the interpreters, you know. But here we are in jail, in the dungeon. And these dreams are really bugging us. They're weighing heavy on our hearts. But there's no one to interpret. Now, God did this. God gave them the dreams. All dreams are not from God. You know, some of the times you're dreaming, you're falling, and you're right before you hit, you wake up, hopefully. People say, I wonder what God's trying to tell me. I usually say, jump. Obviously. Is there anybody else here that can interpret dreams? They're bummed that we have no one to interpret our dreams. Look what Joseph says. Oh, how important this is. Do not interpretations belong to God? God is the one that you and I need to go to. You see, these two men were bummed because they couldn't get to the people that they were used to getting to interpret their dreams. You should be going to God. Christian, today, I don't know where you are, but I'm going to tell you that many of you are receiving pitiful counseling, getting wisdom and direction from people who are immature spiritually. They don't know what they're talking about. They sort of read once in the Bible, and you're getting garbage counseling. Many places that you're going to. When you should have been going to God all along. Isn't it God that interpretations belong to? Yes. What are you doing going to these people or this person? Well, I like him. He's just a nice guy. Listen, go to God. Go straight to God. Always go to God. Joseph realizes that what is needed here is God in this situation. Joseph belongs to the Lord, not some nice, comforting words. That's usually what we try to give each other. I hate life. I hate people. I hate my shoes. And I'm thinking about joining the circus. What do you say, Pastor Bob? I say, well, the Bible says something somewhere about a chicken. They have chickens in the circus, don't they? Must be God's will. Man, that's poor, poor counseling. But the Bible does say something about a chicken. You can't fight that. But I wouldn't run out and join a circus just because you saw a chicken in the Bible somewhere. Or some guy that is in a position you consider authority is giving you this wisdom. Where there's a chicken, there's somebody playing music. And where there's dancing chickens, there's three rings. We got a circus. Got to be God's will. You need to go straight to God. Interpretations, Joseph says, belong to God. Why did he say that? Because they said, we have no interpreter here. Had we been on the outside, there'd be an interpreter. And Joseph would say, you shouldn't be going to the interpreter. If you were out, going to the interpreters would be a waste of time. You need to be going to God. You need to repent and come back where you belong, to the Lord God. Daniel chapter 2. You recall the whole story, don't you? Where Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has a dream and nobody can interpret the dream. Nobody can tell him what it is or tell him what it means. And he says, I'm going to kill everybody. I'm going to kill all the Chaldeans, all the New Agers. I'm going to put them to death. Daniel gets word about it. He, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are also a part of the Chaldeans. Now they're being trained and they're thinking, we don't want to die. We got to go before the Lord. We got to cry out to God. So they brought Daniel before the king. And listen to what Daniel has to say. Daniel chapter 2. I'll read verses 26 through 28. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen? In other words, can you tell me the dream and the interpretation of it? He wouldn't tell the New Agers even what he dreamed. He said, I've had a dream and it's bothering me. They said, tell us the dream. We'll tell you what it means. He goes, no, I think you're fake. You tell me what I dreamed and then tell me what it means. And they said, nobody can do that but God. So he says, Daniel, are you able to make known to me the dream which I've seen and the interpretation? Can you tell me what the dream was and what the dream meant? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot or could not be done by the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers. They could not show it to the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. And he makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. What did Daniel just tell the king? God is who you need to be going to. Not the magicians, not the Chaldeans, not the soothsayers or the prognosticators, not the little people who read your pet's mind and tell you how your pet is feeling. God. How far have we strayed from that today? And we go to men and women, hoping that they will give us some kind of wise advice. I know what you're thinking. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. Oh man, I wouldn't argue with that. That's scriptural. But I would go to God way before I would ever check with you. Way before I would ever check with you. And then I might check with you to make sure I haven't gotten bizarre. This is what I'm thinking God's telling me. Tell me what you see. Because there's wisdom in that. Also, I wouldn't go to someone who isn't a godly man or woman. In the club that where we play racquetball, some of you are members of the different kind of exercising clubs, fitness clubs. You know, you lift weights and you sweat, and you know. And normally they'll make these announcements. Attention, fitness members. And, you know, I never listen to those. Do you? I don't ever. Do you ever listen to that? Attention, fitness members. There's going to be a question, and you can for $25. But there was one time, and a friend was telling us, there was one time the voice was turned way up, cranked way up, and the voice goes like this, attention members, attention members. And I'm going, meh, woo. Attention members, do I have your attention? Thinking there's going to be a terrorist attack. All attention all members, please look at the floor. Do it now. Please look at the floor. I'm going, they must have carpeting or something they don't want you to step on, or maybe they're trying. No, please, are you looking at the floor, members? You know, and people are looking around and looking. If you're looking at the floor and you can't see it, exercise class begins in 5 minutes. Well, you know, is there a nicer way to say that? I mean, couldn't you have been a little more gentle with it? I mean, they got your attention and it slammed you being chubby. And you're thinking, sometimes God will do that to us. And somebody will come to you and say, I don't know what to do. And you'll say, this is what God says. And they'll go, man, you have to be so gruff. Hey, if you can't see the floor, lose some weight. They also have these people who wear shirts that say, personal trainer. And if you want to really get with it, lose some weight, get strong and healthy, you could get a personal trainer. I don't know how much it is. But you can get a personal trainer. Well, there are a lot of these guys that are just, you look at them and you go, that's what, I could look like that if he was my personal trainer. But then there's one dude, I remember, he's a little chubbier than me. He was brand new, and I'm thinking, if I would pick a personal trainer, I wouldn't pick him. Why? He looks like me. What's he going to do? Do you get the point? If you don't, let me just make it perfectly clear. Sometimes God's word is direct. And that's a fact. But I'll tell you right now, when you go looking for someone to give you wisdom, you don't want someone who's flabby spiritually. If you want to get in shape spiritually, you're not going to go checking out, oh, what's her name? Do you go to church? I do sometimes. I'm into my Bible, I read my Bible once a week. No, you want somebody that is buff spiritually, don't you? That's what I want to look like, man. If I got to look like somebody, I want, that's good. Spiritually, that guy's the guy. That woman's the woman. Why would you pick one of them as just like you? Joseph says, you need God. You need God. All glory goes to God. All honor goes to God. All the credit goes to God. So the next time you seek someone's advice, you got to get somebody that you know has a relationship with Jesus. Someone that you know, and if you can't quite see it, or you see a little shakiness in them, that's all right, love them. Find another one. Be careful, because some of you are getting some really bizarre direction from others. And, you know, in the long run, somebody at some church is going to have to clean you up. And who wants that job? My responsibility, I believe. You obviously don't, many of you. But my responsibility is to keep you looking to Jesus. Not to me. To Jesus. To go straight past me and into the arms of the Lord, never to get out of there. Not me. I am not your answer. I look like it. But I'm not. And so many people want me to be. I'm going to another church. You're not my answer. I told you I wasn't my answer. Your answer when you got here. But if you're looking for answers, it's not found in a church. It's found in Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. And you need to die to yourself and go to the arms of Jesus and never leave. You need to commit your whole heart and you need to give up and let Him lead in all areas. As a minister, I need to get out of the way and to lead people to Jesus. But so many people don't want it. And so they go looking for other things. I think Christians anymore don't want to go to God. See, this baker and this butcher, or I mean baker and, no, he's a butler, butcher, but the same thing. I think they don't want to go to God. What are you talking about? We got millions of gods. We got these guys out there. They're good at telling dreams. They're good at it. I wish we could get to one. Interpretations belong to God. Go to God. We don't know Him. I'll introduce you. Go to God. Too many Christians don't want to go to God. They want to go to the man of God or to the woman of God. Don't they? They want someone to do the work for them. Do the praying for them. Isn't that what we're all doing here? To do the seeking for them. To do the plowing for them. I don't think that's scriptural. I think that you and I all ought to be men and women of the Word of God. We need to be, by the power of the Holy Spirit, strong in the days that we live because so many are weak and have no direction. You say, but I've sinned and I'm a mess. Yeah, well, join the club. Finally, you got with us. We're all sinners saved by grace through faith. Don't you dare give up just because your sin is this and everybody else's isn't. You say, well, I stand out in the crowd. Well, so what? You still belong to Jesus. You still have a responsibility to get near Him by the power of the Holy Spirit and stay there. And don't you dare leave because somebody tells you, you got a right to be here or you got a right to be there. People want words to encourage them. You don't want to hear this. Attention members, if you can't see the floor, exercise class starts in 5 minutes. You think that's cold. That's rude. Well, the truth does hurt. And so we aren't supposed to be slashing people around. Doesn't the Bible say we should speak the truth in love? Dear members, if you have to lean forward a little, God bless you. But look at the floor. See, people want words and actions to make them feel better. I think that's what our society has now become. Just make me feel better about my life. When the truth is, my life needs to turn around. It needs to change. We've become convinced, I think, that we need a special group. A special group for everything. We need to be with others who are suffering like we are. No, man, I want someone in shape. I can be around chubby people anytime. We want people that have been through what we've been through. Not so that they can encourage us, because the Bible says that they can do that, but so that they can understand how we're feeling and pat us on the back and say, it's okay. No, no, no. In Jesus Christ, it'll be all right. In Jesus. Come on. Get strong, be strong, and of good courage, God tells Joshua, and do it. Timothy, be strong. And stir up the gift that's in you. Come on, Timothy. Christian. Too many. They don't want that. And I know that you've said it. I said it before. We're right in the big middle of something, and someone will say, this is what God says. And you've heard you say it. I've said it. Haven't you heard this come out of your mouth? I know that. Well, here's what God says. And you say, yeah, I know. I know. No. Well, if you know, then ask for the strength by the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Well, I don't know if I want to. I just need someone to tell me if I'm feeling right or not. I just need someone to say, it's okay to divorce. Go ahead. Just do it. Hopefully they'll tell me I've got spiritual grounds. I just need someone to say, it's all right. Go ahead and spit in their face. Go up to your boss and slap him hard. It's okay. You know, that's scriptural. Wait a minute. Joseph says, God is the one. I don't know where you guys are at, Butler and Baker, but God is the one. We need to go to God. And he says, obviously he's saying I belong to him because he's saying, tell me what the dreams are. It's time. I think that you and I are called by the power of the Holy Spirit to be the strength in these last days. Read what Jesus says to the church at Philadelphia. Because you have a little strength left, Jesus says. I don't think we're going to be these almighty, all-powerful saints just running around taking it down. I think that by the power of the Holy Spirit, there needs to be just that little strength left for us to encourage people, no matter who they are, no matter where they're coming from, turn to God. Start crying out to God for everything. Listen to Him, and by the power of His Holy Spirit, do what He tells you to do. I don't know what His will is. Here is something you do know. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians tells us that. At least we know that is His will. At least we know that He wants us to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, soul, strength, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. At least we know that. So if you say, I'm not sure what His will is, at least here's where I can start. Today, doing these things. So Joseph says to the boys, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams, I pray you. Tell me. And so we go on. Look at verse 9. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph. And he said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded. And her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. And I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. Now, this comes directly from God. God set up this appointment. God put Joseph in place. God brought the chief butler into the place, gave him a dream. And Joseph said, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up your head, restore you unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner, or like you did before when you were his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with you. Let's say the American. Please remember me when things are going well for you back there. I pray you. In other words, please. He says, show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. And make mention of me to Pharaoh and bring me out of this house. Please. In 3 days, Pharaoh is going to lift you back up to your former position. You'll be the chief butler again. Pharaoh's going to do it. 3 days. Now, when it happens, and you're in a good mood and you're not in the dungeon anymore, and that's just 3 days from now, please remember me and do me a favor. For indeed, verse 15, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Please tell Pharaoh, I'm innocent. I don't belong here, and I'm innocent. Please do me that favor. Now think about this. Let's just put ourselves in Joseph's shoes. We know God is where these guys need to go. We know that God is with us. Tell me the dream. When he hears the dream, he says, God has given me the interpretation. Not me, but God has given me the interpretation. And the interpretation is, those branches are 3 days. Man, in 3 days, you're going to be standing right in the presence of the king of Egypt. Just where you used to be. In 3 days. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking this, oh, man, is God good or what? Boy, God works in mysterious ways. I knew he was going to get me out of here, but, man, I never thought he was going to do this. This is great. In 3 days, he's going to be standing right for it. You know, do me a favor, dude. I know this is the interpretation from the Lord, so you got to do me this one favor. And here's where Joseph's plan kicks into action. Please remember me to Pharaoh. Please, when you get there, just mention my name. Tell him I'm innocent. Everybody in prison's innocent. I'm innocent, really, and I don't belong here. I'm a Hebrew. I got stolen, and I'm here for something I didn't do. Please remember me. Well, what do you think that the butler said? Yeah, right, cool, yeah. I mean, you don't know if what Joseph is saying is true. You got to wait 3 days to see, don't you? But Joseph's got a plan. All right. Now I see how God's going to get me out of here. He's going to use the butler. This is great. You ever do that? Oh, Lord, I don't know what's going on. And then something happens. You go, oh, got it figured out. Got it. Oh, Lord, this is cool. Great idea. Oh, this is how God's going to do it. And then he doesn't do it. You had it all figured out, and then he doesn't do it. And then you get disappointed, one of the weapons of mass destruction, don't you? You get discouraged, the weapons of mass destruction of the devil, discouragement, disappointment. Poor Joseph, watch this. Verse 16. Well, the chief baker, he thought, all right, good news. Man, this is great. Let me tell you, hey, wait, let me tell you my dream. And the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good. He said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. And behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And he's hoping, all right, that's going to be 3 days too. This is cool. And in the uppermost basket, there was all manner of basket meats, food for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered and said, and he doesn't pull any punches here. He just says it the way it is. You know, just look at the floor, dude. He says, this is the interpretation of the three baskets are 3 days. And you can see the baker going, oh, all right, 3 days, me too. Yet within 3 days, Pharaoh shall lift up your head from off thee, oopsie, and shall hang you on a tree, and the birds shall eat your flesh. Couldn't you have said that nicer, Joseph? Attention, members, can you see the floor? Sometimes it just comes out that way. Joseph says, I'm sorry, but that's the interpretation. 3 days, you're going to be hanged. And the birds will eat your flesh. I hate that when that happens. Now notice, Joseph doesn't say to this guy, and really, right before they hang you, mention me to Pharaoh. He doesn't say, why? I mean, what's the use? This guy's dying. This guy's not. Buddy. Dude, love you, man. I mean, I know we hardly know each other, but I've been serving you and I'm doing the best I can. Please remember me. Well, verse 20 says, and it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast unto all his servants, a feast unto all of them. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he gave the cup to Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. 3 days later, the baker was hanged and the birds ate his flesh, and the butler was restored to his former position, the right in the presence of Pharaoh. He hands Pharaoh his drink, brings him his pipe, or his slippers, and Pharaoh says, you got the newspaper? I'm on that. I'll grab that. Be right. He's right there. He talks to Pharaoh. I mean, they know one another. They chat. Would you please remember me to Pharaoh? Oh, man, this is how God's going to get me out of here. And by the way, it is how God's going to get him out of there. Just not now. He hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, let me ask you. You're in jail. You're in a tight spot. You have a dream that's really bugging you. Someone comes along and says, God interprets dreams. What's your dream? You tell them, and they tell you exactly what it meant, and 3 days later it happens exactly like they said. How quickly would you forget them? I'll tell you, you wouldn't. To this very day, you'd still be telling people, wouldn't you? Unless God himself caused you to forget. See, God's in control here. And I'd be thinking, I'm out of here, I might as well pack. The guy said, come on, Bob, get busy. I don't really need to, I'm practically out of here. Another few days, I'm gone. You can color me out of here. Somebody else will be doing this stupid job. Can you imagine? Joseph had his plan ready. Starts working it out for himself. He doesn't need to do that. God knows he's there. God's got him there. God knows when God is taking him out. Joseph doesn't, but he thinks he's got it figured out. And so he's ready to go, you know. So Joseph thought, you know, it's the third day. He's going to be standing in front of Pharaoh today. It's Pharaoh's birthday. He's going to be in a great mood, having cake and stuff and some coffee. They're just having a party, going to blow out some candles. Probably the butler's going to mention how he got out here. I'll be out by today. Then after the birthday celebration, he thought, okay, well, they were probably busy and now they're cleaning up. Probably, I'm not really panicky, but it'll probably be tomorrow. I'll probably be out tomorrow. And then, you know, that's what God's doing. I understand what he's doing. And tomorrow came and he still wasn't out. And so he's probably thinking, you know, we're headed for the weekend and I can see how the butler probably want to get his stuff together. Maybe after this long weekend here, if the celebration of Pharaoh's birthday, we'll be out of here probably by the weekend. And then a week went by. Then 2 weeks went by. Then there was 2 months. And then there was a year. Now it's been 2 years. And Joseph is thinking, God couldn't have forgotten me. But the last verse of chapter 40 says in plain English, he forgot Joseph. Why did that happen? Well, I'm just going to have to say it boldly. Because it wasn't time for Joseph to get out yet. Jesus, when they arrested him or tried to arrest him, they grabbed him and he said, no. What do you mean, no, we're going to arrest you? No, no, it's not time yet. You can't. And then he walked away from them. What do you mean it's not? Hey, come back. Well, where did he go? What do you mean it's not time yet? It is not time. My father says this is when it'll be. I'll tell you when it's time. Joseph, you have this all planned out. You had it all figured out. You think, oh, here's a plan. Now he'll be in front of Pharaoh. He can mention me to Pharaoh. Pharaoh will feel be in a good mood. Let me out of here. No, no, no. That's not God's plan. What's God's plan? You need 2 more years down here. Why? Because God said so. What do I need to learn? I've been serving. I'm the top. Where do you go from here? Nowhere for 2 years. Had God forgotten? Had Joseph somehow sinned so grossly against the Lord that he made him mad? Had Joseph's faith been too small? No. Does God even remember that Joseph is in prison? Yes, the Bible says God is with him there in the prison. Well, what's going on here? Where are you, God? And you pray it. Have you forgotten me down here? If you are a God of love, then why are you leaving me here to rot in this prison cell? I'm innocent and you know it, and I don't belong here. And what are you doing? And you've prayed that lately, haven't you? Well, how come? I mean, why is it? Why don't you get off my back? And the answer is, it's not time yet, Joseph. What do you mean? Well, I've got this plan. And the plan includes bringing all your brothers and your dad and their animals. I need to get everybody down here. I'm going to get them out of the land, over into the land of Goshen. But you see, it's not time yet. There are some things I'm doing in your brothers. There are some things I'm doing in your dad. There are some things I am working out with Pharaoh. There are some things in your own heart that need to be worked through. So, Joseph, trust me. I want out of here. Oh, I know. And I want you out. And you know your plan about the butler being the one to mention you to Pharaoh? Yeah, good plan. It was my plan too. Just not when you schedule it, but when I schedule it. Christian, you need to go to God. I need to go to God. We need to go to God. We need to become, by His strength, faithful in the things that He has called us to do. Not wishy-washy, back, forth, over, under, around. No, but simply by His strength, faith. A steward, all that steward has to be found is faithful. He's not asking you to own it all. He's asking you to take care of it for Him. And so what was Joseph taking care of? All the stuff that belonged to Potiphar. And then when he got kicked out of there and put in prison, all stuff that belongs to the prison. Joseph's, this isn't mine. I'm just taking care of it for the Lord. Just the same as you in your life. This is not my stuff. I'm just taking care of this for God. It's His. So we try not to break it or bend it or scratch it up. But it's His. Now, keep in mind that all of it that you see is going to burn. We know that. Peter tells us. Well, we're told Revelation tells us as well. And I know sometimes you get yourself into a situation where it seems like you're in a dungeon. It seems like God is not listening. It seems like you had opportunities to get out of the situation and God just didn't move quick enough and you're still in it. He even set up a couple of things where you thought it could get you out yourself. It didn't work. The butler forgot me. He forgot. How do you forget somebody that tells you the future? Don't forget people. What's wrong with that man's mind? God made him forget you because we need another 2 years out of you down here in the dungeon. You say, I'm in the dungeon right now. And I say, God has a schedule. And when He pulls you out, it will not only be something that has strengthened you and made you more ready to oversee, because you'll see Joseph's ready to oversee. It'll not only will it do that, but it will also save many other people. This isn't all just about me and you. God is working in our lives so that many will come to Jesus. Many. So you and I need to learn to go to Him. Listen to Him and trust Him. We need to stop whining and start crying to Him and to turn our lives over completely. All that I am, all that I have, all that I will ever be, Lord, I just place it in Your hands. I am Yours. You are the Master. I am the servant. You are Lord. I am Your servant. That was Joseph's heart. And we'll stop here, but I want you to know that Joseph comes out of prison in the next chapter, even though we can't get to it tonight. He comes out of prison a very strong, wise man. And everybody, he comes out of prison at 30 years old. 30. You say, well, that's kind of young. It is. But remember, he was sold into slavery at 17. So he has been a slave and a prisoner for 13 years nonstop. 13 years a slave and a prisoner. Completely innocent, yet spending 13 years of his life in bondage. What for? So that God can keep His promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that God's word will be completely fulfilled. Joseph suffered. And at the end of the book, Joseph is going to say to his brothers, "You meant this for evil, But I can look back and see now, God did this for good, to save an entire nation. Everything God does is good. Everything He's doing in your life right now, everything He's allowing, this will bless you. All things work together for good, Romans 8:28. This will bless you. This will strengthen you. And if you will allow it to, it will change others and bless others as well. Let's bow our heads together.